Look on my affliction and deliver me, for I do not forget your law. Plead my cause and redeem me. Give me life according to your promise. Salvation is far from the wicked, for they do not seek your statutes. Great is your mercy, O Lord. Give me life according to your just decrees. Many are my persecutors and my adversaries, but I do not swerve from your testimonies. I look at the faithless with disgust, because they do not keep your commands. Consider how I love your precepts. Give me life according to your steadfast love. The sum of your word is truth, and every one of your just and righteous decrees endures forever. That's just a smidgen, just a section, just one of the 22 octonarii, as the old expositors called it, in Psalm 119. That's just verses 153 through 160 of this massive psalm, consisting of 176 total verses according to the Masoretes, who were a bunch of Hebrew monks who put the verse numbers in way back in the day. But again, can be broken down differently into these 22 different groupings, each of them containing 8 verses, each of which begins with the same letter, all following in order the letters of the Hebrew alphabet. So where we would say A, B, C, D, they say Aleph, Beth, Gimel, Dalet. And that's just the modern pronunciation, mind you. But the point being that each of these 22 sections is connected with each of these letters, and that every line of the 8 lines in each section begins with that letter, something that just doesn't come across in the English, but is very, very obvious and evident in the Hebrew. Imagine write a poem, just do it with, you know, 2 couplets where you begin the first couplet A, and the second couplet B, B, and the third couplet C, C. And all of this technicality, all of this effort on the part of David, the psalmist, putting it together is to attribute beauty to what the poem is about, which the old German Bible translations had this inscription, "The Christian's golden ABC of the praise, love, power, and use of the Word of God." For as those favorite commentators of Moncayle and Delitzsch say, "For here we have set forth in inexhaustible fullness what the Word of God is to a man, and how a man is to behave himself in relation to it." So they title this the 22-fold string of aphorisms by one who is persecuted for the sake of his faith. For what is man's relationship to the Word of God but that to his Savior, and that for which the rest of the world of man will despise him? Now, there is a pattern to this entire psalm. It's pretty tough to sit down and read all at once, but again, from the commentary, after the poet has praised the fidelity of the Word of God in the Aleph, the A section, and described it as the virtue of all virtues, which is of service to a young man when he devotes himself, Beth, the B section, he prays in the midst of the scoffing and persecuting persons that surround him for the grace of enlightenment, that's the Gimel section, of strengthening, Daleth, D, of preservation, Hey or H, of suitable and joyful confession, Vav, or Wow. God's word is all his thought and pursuit, Zayin. He cleaves to those who fear God, Heth, and recognizes the salutary element of his humbling of you, Teth. But is he in need of comfort from this, Yod? And sighs, how long, Kaf? Without the eternal, sure, mighty word of God, he would despair, Lamed. This is his wisdom in difficult times, Mem. He has sworn fidelity to it and maintains his fidelity as one who is being persecuted for it, Nun, right? We're on N now. And abhors and despises the apostates of the word, Samek. He is oppressed, but God will not suffer him to be crushed, Ajin. He will not suffer the doings of the ungodly which wring from him floods of tears to prevail over him, Pei. Over him, the still small, youthful, despised one, whom zeal concerning the prevailing godlessness of the world is consuming him. Sade. That's a very unique letter. We actually don't have one that matches it. But he goes on, oh, that God would hear his crying day by day and night by night, kof, and would revive him speedily with his helpful mercy, resh. For being persecuted by the powers of his age, he still holds fast to God, sheen, and would seek God and God's word, even as an isolated and sorely imperiled sheep. Tav, or tau, or, well, the T sound for us, which is the end of the Hebrew alphabet. Now, this outline does not exhaust the fundamental thoughts of the entire thing, but it certainly does give you that there's a pattern to the entire thing. The psalm is not lacking at all in coherence or movement. This is no fifth grade writing down of a bunch of things that start with the same letter, but speaks of the situation of man as he comes to believe in God, how it affects his mood, how it affects the world around him, how it continues to be his only hope and sure, most certain stay in all public relationships, in all trials, in all things, that this divine word and the fruit of its teaching springs forth and becomes a very source of life. Now, our section from today comes out of that bit on resh, the R sound, where the psalmist asks God to revive him speedily with his mercy, right? Look on my affliction, deliver me. Why? Because I haven't forgotten your word. I know it's all I live from. So you, God, be the one to plead my cause. Don't make me do it. Redeem me. Give me life. You've already said you will. I believe it. Make it to be. I know that the wicked, which have rejected your statutes, they're not going to get saved, but Lord, you're merciful. Give me life according to the decrees you've already set, right? And for you, Christian, that means I've baptized you, take and eat, this is my body, you're absolved in the name of Jesus. So the prayer is, make good on that, Lord. Even in the midst of the persecution of this age, in which we, Christians, you have not swayed. It is not easy to be a Christian in America today. It's not easy to believe anymore, but what hope do you have? Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Consider, O Lord, that I still believe your word and give me life according to your steadfast love, because your word is truth. Everything you say is true and right and good. Christ is risen. Christ has died. Christ will come again. Alleluia. Lord, amen. Amen. Yea, yea, it is so. And remember, this is just a very small portion of the entire psalm. It's like there's not enough time in the day to unravel all the goodness of the words of God.